Welcome to the Hipster Mama Speaks. I'm Thea Teresa English, and on tonight's show, we're going to talk about stocking your pantry well. That's right. The inspiration for this episode actually came earlier today. I was going through my pantry trying to find some vegetable oil so I can fry the chicken, because we had about 2 packs of chicken wings in the refrigerator that I bought over the weekend. But what I didn't realize is how little of the vegetable oil that I had, so I had to borrow some from my grandmother next door. And that really got me thinking about how well we should stock our pantries well for emergencies, or when it's time to cook a certain food, it'd be good to already have the items on hand in our pantries. And I just wanted to, and just not only am I sharing inspiration behind tonight's episode, but I'm also inspired by the fact that this is an important life skill that every teenager should learn, especially before they move out on their own, how to stock their pantries well, how to always have the main, not just your most basic staples that you'll need, but also some of the extra items, or there might be some of your favorite foods or favorite snacks or drinks or whatnot. All those things should be well stocked in your pantry, because you never know when you might not be able to make it to the store. There might be an emergency where something comes up regarding your check. Well, because actually, I just have a story to share about that. There was a time when I was little, my mom was working at a certain job, and when it was time for her to get paid, the boss would tell her not to cash a check until a certain day, because if she had cashed it on a day that she had gotten paid, it would have been not sufficient funds. And that check would have bounced, and so therefore the employees wouldn't receive their money. And so we have situations like that. Actually, I came across a situation a few years ago when I worked at a certain home health care agency. We would get paid every 2 weeks, and the payday was always on Fridays. But on this particular day, when I went to go pick up my check, the lady at the agency mentioned to me that I really couldn't cash my check until that Saturday or that following Monday. So I was stuck. And so thankfully I had enough food in the pantry to last me that weekend until I was able to cash my check that Monday. But this just shows the need for all of us to prepare for emergencies, to prepare for those times when money gets tight. There might be a situation where you have to pay a major medical bill. Somebody might experience a medical emergency, and now you have to pay the bill for that. Or your car breaks down, now you're going to have to pay for the repairs, and that eats into your grocery bill. So now that reduces your expenses, now you might not have enough to pay for groceries that week due to what happened with your car. So it's for reasons like this that we all need a well-stocked pantry, and not just for emergencies, but there are also other practical reasons why we should have a well-stocked pantry, and I'm just going to talk about a few of them here. When you have a well-stocked pantry, you won't have to spend a lot of money on processed food or even all the fast foods. You don't have to spend so much money on fast food, which we know can be very pricey, especially if you purchase a combo meal that comes with the fries and a Coke and an extra treat. And even if you're buying kids' meals at many fast food places or even some restaurants, it's not always cheap. And so when we have a well-stocked pantry, we'll be able to stay away from the fast food joints and the already prepared meals, the box meals that are often costly at the supermarkets. We'll always have fresh food on hand to cook with. So that's one of the benefits of having a well-stocked pantry. In addition to this, another reason why we should have a well-stocked pantry is that it allows us to cook meals at the last minute. You never know when your spouse will contact you during the day, and he or she will say something like, "Well, we know my parents have decided to come in town for the weekend, or my friends and I are going to come over to the house and hang over at the house for a few hours. And I was wondering if you could cook us something real quick." Or it could be a situation with your kids. All of a sudden, they have an appetite for a certain type of meal that you fix for them all the time. And then all of a sudden, that's the meal they want. When they ask for that particular meal, you always want to have the things you need in your pantry to make that special meal for the kids for the times when they just suddenly want that meal. So it could be, so that's another good reason why we should have a well-stocked pantry. And finally, one of the best things about having a well-stocked pantry is that you can get creative in the kitchen, depending on what kind of items that you like, and depending on what your favorite food staples are, you can get creative in a kitchen. You can create meals from so many different staples, and I've done that a lot over the years. There have been times when I've made brownies from scratch. There was a time just from my pantry, I had some boneless chicken breasts in the freezer. I had a little bit left over, and I had a can of not a can, I had a jar of curry sauce. So what I did was I created a whole curry chicken recipe, and that was based on a lot of what I had in my pantry. I didn't really have to run out to the store to buy new items because it was right there in my pantry. And I also think about the times when it was a rainy day, just really rainy. I couldn't go to the store, but I still had a creative urge to create something different. Thankfully, I was able to go right to my nice pantry and just take out the staples that I needed, and I was able to whip up a meal in no time. It didn't take too long. Everybody was well fed. We were all happy, and we saved money and time. So that's the great thing about having a well-stocked pantry. You save money and you save time. And with that said, we're going to get right into some of the things. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of requirements for the pantry, but this is just based on some of the things that I stock my pantry with, or at least attempt to do most of the time. Now, there are times when I don't get this, and when I really, but I should, and I end up running low, and I had to borrow some items from my grandmother who lives next door, because that's one of the things I learned from my grandmother, that she kept a well-stocked pantry. She really, and even to this day, she still does. If we run out of stuff over here, sometimes I know where to go. I know that my grandmother's gonna have extras. So that's one of the lessons I learned from her, is keeping a well-stocked pantry. And with that said, now I'm gonna go right into the list of things that I believe that we all should have in our pantries. I would say flour, sugar, butter, bread, either wheat bread or white bread. I was just saying, in our house, we do mostly wheat bread. We are really not a white bread kind of family. We ditched white bread a long time ago, so now it's either whole grain bread or wheat bread for us. We don't do too much white bread in our household. Another thing that we try to stock a lot of in our house is canned vegetables, and vegetable oil, which I ran out of today when I was trying to fry chicken, so I had to borrow that. So I had to remind myself to remember, you need to keep some vegetable oil on hand. You know how you love to fry your foods. And also eggs. Now, one of the reasons I always try to keep eggs in the pantry is because practically every morning we have eggs. We have eggs and breakfast sausages, along with toast and jelly. Sometimes we'll have eggs, waffles, and sausage. So that's another thing I like to keep on hand, is plenty of breakfast sausage and plenty of egg or waffles. Because it is a main meal that we eat practically every day. It's a good big breakfast. Now, there are times when we don't do that. We might just resort to eating donuts. There was a time when there was one day when we didn't have too much breakfast food, so we had Krispy Kreme donuts for breakfast, all of us. And those days happen. That day we just happened to be low on breakfast food pantry, on our breakfast food items. So I would say eggs. I really believe that we should all keep some eggs in our pantry. In addition to that, a variety of spices. I'll just name a few off the top of my head that I keep a lot of personally. Black pepper, garlic powder, granulated garlic, celery salt, kosher salt, regular Morton salt, and for us, seasoned salt. And for us, that means Tony Satcheries, because I live in New Orleans, so a lot of New Orleanians love Tony Satcheries seasoned salt. So for a lot of us here, if you go to any home, at least most people's homes in New Orleans, you're likely to find Tony Satcheries seasoned salt. It's really good. So I would say seasoned salt, either Tony Satcheries or Lawry's seasoned salt is pretty good too. Then there's McCormick's seasoned salt. So in addition to the regular white salt, I would also try to keep seasoned salt on hand, because I use that just as much as I do the table salt. And I mentioned black pepper, garlic powder, and granulated garlic, celery salt, also onion powder. I don't really do onion salt as much. If I'm gonna do something that has some kind, if I'm using a spice that has an onion flavor, I would do either granulated onion or onion powder, but not onion salt. And I feel the same way about garlic salt. I don't think it's necess I don't really see it as necessary. Now, some people would use it and they see it as a must-have for their pantry. Every person is different, but for me, I just don't mess with onion salt or garlic salt. I'll just stick to table salt and seasoned salt. And if I want the pot, if I want the the spices that have an onion or garlic taste, I'll go for the powders, but not the garlic salt or onion salt. I would prefer onion powder or garlic powder. So you want to have a variety of spices. Another thing I like to have is the red chili pepper flakes. I love that. It adds such heat to different recipes that I make. I would say paprika, cumin. Let's see what else. And here in Louisiana, for those of us who like to make gumbo, it is important that we keep gumbo filet on hand. For those who are not familiar with gumbo filet, it's a almost like a dark greenish powder that you can find in just about any supermarket here in New Orleans. But that is an important spice, if you will, because it is often used in gumbo. But we usually don't add it in the beginning. It's usually added right near the end of the gumbo cooking. So right near the end of the cooking time for the gumbo, that's when we toss in the filet powder. And you don't really need a whole lot for it. Really, you just need maybe 1 or 2 teaspoons. You don't need to do a half cup of filet powder because it will just overpower the rest of the flavors. So that's another spice that I like to keep on hand is the filet powder for gumbo. So also in addition to all the spices, all my must-have spices, I like to have a few cases of water and a few cases of Cokes. That's all. Our main thing is Coca-Cola. We're not really Sprite people. Now we every once in a while we might get Boks root beer because we all enjoy Boks, but for the most part we just stick with Coca-Cola. So once again, that's a few cases of water, a few cases of soda. In addition to that, some canned meats and canned fish. So for us here at our house, that would mean a lot of canned tuna. And you can do so much with canned tuna. That's why I believe it's important to keep tuna on hand in your pantry. I remember when I was little, my grandmother used to make plenty of tuna casserole for me when I was little. My mom would make tuna, but she wouldn't. My mom would not do tuna casserole. She wasn't really a casserole person. To this day, she's not. But when I was little, I remember my mom making tuna fish sandwiches for me, and it was just delicious. To this day, I try to make tuna fish the way she did it. It does not come out exactly like she did, but. But those were my memories of eating meals with canned tuna. So I would really stock up. I would advise you to stock up on canned tuna. Another thing is also the canned corned beef. Now we don't do that too much at our house, but for those who enjoy that's a good thing to stock up on as well. In addition to that, Vienna sausages. Those are especially good for times when the power goes out and you're not able to cook anything and you're just down to eating canned goods and crackers. You can't go wrong with Vienna sausage for emergency food. I remember when the power went out here due to a tropical storm, that's when we were eating a lot of Vienna sausage with crackers. Also canned spam for those who like spam. I'm not really a spam person. Now, there's this other type of canned ham called Dax ham, or Dax. I remember my grandmother getting a few cans of that from the drugstore when I was little. Now that ham is pretty good, but I'm not really a spam kind of girl. But for those who do, it's good to stock up on spam because that makes for a good emergency food when power outages happen due to tropical storms or just some other emergencies when you can't use the electricity. It's good to have some canned meats and canned fish. And that goes for canned vegetables and canned fruits and also some canned beans. And not just canned beans, but dried beans. Because if you think about beans, not only are they high in fiber and nutritious for the body, you can do so much. You can make a ton of different recipes with it. And a good thing about beans is that they freeze well. So if, for those who are into meal planning and you're looking for meals that freeze well, just make anything with beans. They freeze well. I had different times when I would make beans and when we got tired of eating the rest of the leftovers, we would put the rest of the beans in Ziploc bags and toss them in the freezer. Some weeks later, when we felt like beans again, we'll take them right out the freezer. So beans, meals that are heavy in beans, they freeze well. So I would really suggest you stock up on any kind of canned beans, no matter what they are, red kidney beans, black beans, white beans, lima beans, navy beans, pinto beans. Lentils, the canned beans and the dried beans. You can't go wrong with beans. Not only are they economical and healthy, but you can doctor it up all kinds of ways. And here in New Orleans, in fact, I actually had a can of. I enjoyed some Blue Runner beans today. I really did. Normally, I cook the red kidney beans. I would get the dried version and I cook it over in a nice big pot and put the salt pork and ham and smoked sausage. But I didn't do all that today. Because I was frying chicken and cooking beans, I took a shortcut with the beans and bought some Blue Runners. But the Blue Runner beans are good. They have a nice taste to it, as long as you add all your good spices and add some extra aromatics like onions and garlic to it. And you add your own smoked sausage and whatever kind of meat you enjoy. It could be a very economical meal. You can do it so much with canned beans. It stretches your money pretty good. So I would say beans. Another thing is olive oil. Now that can be pricey. Now that of all the pantry staples, this can be pretty pricey. But if you're into healthy cooking a lot, an olive oil is a must. Especially if you're one who cooks a lot of pasta dishes. Olive oil goes well with most pasta dishes. So if you're into cooking a lot of linguine, spaghetti, if you're a lasagna kind of person, if that's very common in your house, lasagna, any other kind of pasta, fettuccine, Alfredo, you want to keep a good deal of olive oil in your pantry. Also, canned soups. And when I talk about canned soups, I'm not just talking about for eating. I could think of all the different recipes that I have made using canned soups. And my favorite canned soup to cook with is cream of mushroom soup. Just love it. And my favorite is the Campbell's cream of mushroom soup with roasted garlic. That flavor of cream of mushroom soup, the one with the roasted garlic flavor, it is just delicious. I have made turkey necks using that soup. I've done it with smothered pork chops. I did it with smothered chicken. I've done so many different recipes. I've even put it in fish recipes. It's a very delicious, very delicious canned soup. My favorite. So I would keep a few cans of soup on hand, not just for eating, but for just using in place of chicken broth. If you're not able to get chicken broth or chicken stock, canned soups is a really good substitute. And the good thing about that is most supermarkets carry sales on soups. Now, it might not always be Campbell's or Progresso or the name brands that go on sale, but even the store brand soups are still good. I didn't find I there've been times when I have bought generic brand canned soups, and I didn't have for cooking as a substitute for chicken broth or some other kind of stock, and I haven't had any problems with it as far as taste wise. It was just as good. As long as you doctor it up with your spices and aromatics, you're good to go. I think there's nothing wrong with buying generic brand soups if you want to save money and build your pantry. Generic brand canned soups are excellent for that. Another thing I want to talk about is milk. You definitely want to not for those who are lactose free, I mean lactose intolerant, or those who are not into milk, that this may not be as important. But for many others, where they might eat cereal a lot for breakfast, or they use it in desserts, for those who like to make custards and pies, especially the cream pies, or different puddings like banana pudding and whatnot, you want to keep milk on hand. At least 1 or 2 gallons, depending on how much milk you use in a week. For us, 1 or 2 gallons would be enough. And sometimes 2 gallons is too much for us because we're not heavy milk consumers. Now, that was the case when my daughter was had just turned my, when my daughter turned 1 year old, she was still very heavy on the milk. Now, she was eating quite a bit of solids, but milk was also a major part of her diet until I cut back on that right before she turned 2. Cause this was around the same time that she switched over to drinking out of a cup, but the thing is, once she switched over to a cup, she wanted less of her milk. So these days, her main consumption of milk is coming from cereal for the most part and oatmeal. So you want to keep a want to keep an adequate amount of milk in your refrigerator and rice. I can't tell you how many times where I cook rice all the time with recipes. I mean, I can't think of a recipe that I make where it does not involve rice on the side. And that's because I was always a rice and gravy girl. It's so funny because when I was a kid, I would eat when I would eat different meals my mom or grandmother would serve for me, I would eat the rice and gravy before I ate the meat, and they would always tell me, eat your meat. But I was always this rice and gravy kind of girl. I mean, I'm not vegetarian or vegan or anything. It's just that I just love the taste of rice and gravy, especially if the gravy was so good. It just tastes so great with rice. I just love it. Rice is one of my favorite pantry staples. And for me personally, rice is a must for my pantry. So I always want to make sure I have that. And then pasta, because I love my pasta. I really do. That's probably why I struggle to to lose some of the baby weight because I am a big rice and pasta fan. Just enjoy it. And so, and not only that, it's economical because many stores, once again, just like the beans, many stores carry sales on rice and pasta during the week. And so I would say you want to stock up on your pastas as well as your rice, and also stock up on not just the white rice, but if you want to make a health make a change towards healthy eating and adjust your diet a little bit, it's good to stock up on brown rice, especially when they go on sale for the week. So you want to have a balance of not just the white rice, but the brown rice, and that's what I started doing. Not only do I have a lot of the white rice on hand in my pantry, but there are times when I will buy brown rice if it's on sale, and I'll just stock up on that. And now the only thing about brown rice, which is a drawback to it, is that it will take longer to cook than white rice. But overall, brown rice has some amazing health benefits, and also potatoes. And I'm talking about both the fresh potatoes and the boxes of mashed potatoes. I think it's good to stock up on both because there might be times where you want to use potatoes to make potato salad. You might want to make a soup with potatoes. Or there's the times when you feel like mashed potatoes. You might be making a pot roast, or you might be doing baked pork chops and you want some mashed potatoes on the side. So it's good to stock up on potatoes. Overall, potatoes are economical and you can easily stock up on that while they're on sale. So I would say potatoes is an important staple for your pantry if you want to take a break from the rice and pasta. In addition to this, cheese. Now not everybody is a big cheese buff. Now I like my cheese. I like to use it to do homemade macaroni and cheese, or for the occasional times when I do make the ones from the box, I add my own cheese to it, and just to make it even cheesier and creamier. So I do like to keep cheddar cheese on hand, and we tend to eat a lot of burgers here. We consume quite a bit of burgers, and there are times when we eat tacos during the week. So what I like to do is keep cheese on hand, be it the shredded cheese that's already shredded in a bag, or I'll get the block of cheese and cut it up. So depending on how I'm going to use the cheese in certain recipes. So I would say cheese. Another thing is apple juice and orange juice if you have little kiddos. My daughter likes both apple and orange juice, so I try to keep both types of juice on hand. So you can't go wrong with the juice. Now I understand that too much of the sugary juices are not the healthiest, but she does drink water. She does, in fact, she likes water. So in her case, it's not really a struggle to get her to drink water. As long as you give it to her cold, it's not a problem. So it has not been too much of a struggle to give her water because she does enjoy it. She doesn't spit it out when we give it to her or anything like that. So in my case, it's been a blessing. It has not been too much of a struggle for her to drink water. And so in light of that, in my case, I don't think it's a problem to keep the orange and apple juice on hand, as long as we give it to her in moderation, and as long as she's not going through the whole day drinking juice tonight and just refusing other types of food. And let's see what else. Oh, in addition to that, oatmeal and grits. Yes. Here at our house, we don't we even though a lot of our breakfast is really centered around sausage, eggs, and waffles and toast for the most part, there are times when we switch up. And when we do switch up, we're eating oatmeal or we're eating grits, either one of those. And so I like to stock up my pantry with oatmeal and with grits, especially. When we think about oatmeal, it suppresses your appetite pretty well, especially if you eat a nice good full bowl of oatmeal with a little bit of butter, maybe some low-fat milk or cream, and a tad bit of sugar or honey. Some people add dried fruits to it. Some people will even use nuts in their oatmeal. They might add some sliced almonds or walnuts, pecans, or whatnot. They might doctor it up a little bit. So with oatmeal, it's healthy. It's good for appetite suppressing, and it's high in fiber, depending on what kind of oatmeal you get. And grits, it just keeps you full, depending on how much grits you eat in addition to your other breakfast foods. So when you combine grits with your other breakfast items in the morning, especially if you have kids and you want to fill them up in the morning and you want to give them a good full breakfast before they go off to school, I would recommend that you keep oatmeal and grits in a pantry. Very important. And also, And I would say even some frozen fruits and vegetables, because sometimes the canned vegetables and fruits don't, they may not be on sale that week, and you might be on a really tight budget where the only thing you can buy are sale items. In that case, if you see some frozen fruits and vegetables on sale for a really good price, I think you should stock up on those too, because those are just as good as the canned fruits and vegetables. And that's all I could think of as far as the pantry. As I said, this is not a completely exhaustive list. Actually, I could have added more to it, but for the sake of the episode, I didn't want to drag it out so much. But I know there's a lot more that could be added. But just for this episode tonight, these are the main ones I'm focusing on, because this is a lot of this is pretty much this is what makes up my pantry. And actually, even in my pantry, there's more that I'm not mentioning tonight, but for the most part, these are the main staples that I'd like to keep on hand all the time in my pantry. So now we're gonna just go on to some tips to round out this episode. One thing you want to do is stock up on your most used pantry item or your favorite pantry items when they go on sale. So basically, you're buying these in bulk when they go on sale. And when you do that, there's a reduced chance of you running out of these items in your pantry, because you'll always have them there on hand, or at least you'll have them there for a longer period of time, and you won't have to worry about rushing back and forth to the store about 3 or 4 times a week. That can the amount of time you spend at the store can be greatly reduced by stocking up on the items that you like the most on sale, and just buying those in bulk. And it does save you money, but it saves you time as well. And also, I want to talk about not neglecting your freezer. Your freezer is an extension of your pantry, so you can also prepare some freezer-friendly meals that you can eat over a period of maybe 2 to 4 weeks at the most. And I have here in front of me some really good freezer-friendly meals. They include meatloaf, meatballs and tomato sauce, marinated pork chops or barbecue pork chops, vegetable beef soup, some turkey chili, shepherd's pie, gumbo, jambalaya, pancakes, and shredded pork with barbecue sauce. These are just a few freezer-friendly meals that you can make ahead of time and freeze. Or if you eat some of these meals one night and you get tired of the leftovers, you can actually take some of the same leftovers and dump them in Ziploc bags or some kind of store, some really airtight storage container, and toss these in the freezer and for another time. In addition to that, you can also take some of your leftovers and repurpose them into new meals. That's something I do quite a bit too. So, and that saves money and time. Another thing you want to do is check the expiration dates of the items that you buy in bulk, because you don't want to buy all these items in bulk and then never get around to them, and then a whole month goes by and you go through your pantry, or maybe you reorganize your pantry and you realize that you got to toss out half of the cans of boxes of food because they're way past the expiration date. So it's important that you do that as well. And with that said, I'm going to end tonight's episode. And this was dealing with how we can have a well-stocked pantry for emergencies and for other important reasons. Until next time, this is the Hipster Mama, and have a blessed night.